We may be practicing touching the earth in another form. In the future. So today I thought I would leave the introduction because you have heard it twice now and offer you a more authentic experience of touching the earth as if you were at Plum Village. My root practice center. So because you will be touching the earth for slightly longer periods of time, again, please take good care of your body and your mind. Please take good care of yourself, because you'll be touching the earth for a little longer than normal. Once again, I've offered three methods of connecting with the earth. However, if there is another way which is more comfortable and meaningful to you, then please, please, please use that. And like I say, I'll be watching for other ideas. So, dear friends, please stand. If you choose, only if you choose. And we'll be moving straight into the earth touchings. I will not be offering introductions. And once you're in posture, breathe. Stand. In gratitude, I touch the earth to connect with ancestors and descendants of both my spiritual and my blood ancestors. Please touch the earth. My spiritual ancestors include the Buddha, the Bodhisattvas, the Noble Sangha of Buddha's disciples, and my own spiritual teachers, still alive or already passed away. They are present in me because they have transmitted to me seeds of peace, wisdom, love, compassion, and happiness. My spiritual ancestors, blood ancestors, spiritual descendants, the blood descendants are all part of me. I am them, and they are me. I do not have a separate self. All exist as part of a wonderful stream of life, which is constantly moving. In your own time, slowly, slowly, slowly stand. In gratitude, I touch the earth and connect with all people and all species that are alive at this moment in the world with me. Please touch Please touch the earth. In gratitude, I touch the earth to be with the wonderful pattern of life that radiates out in all directions. I see the close connection between myself and others, how we share happiness and suffering. I am the frog swimming in the pond, and I am also the snake who needs the body of the frog to nourish its own body. I am the caterpillar or the ant that the bird is looking for to eat, and I am also the bird that is looking for the caterpillar or the ant. I am the forest that is being cut down. I am the rivers and the air that are being polluted, and I am also the person who cuts down the forest and the business person who pollutes the rivers and the air. I see myself in all species, and I see all species in me. I am one with the great beings who have realized the truth of no birth and no death, and are able to look at the forms of birth and death, happiness and suffering, with calm eyes. I am one with those people who can be found a little bit everywhere, who have sufficient peace of mind, understanding, compassion and love, who are able to touch what is wonderful, nourishing and healing, who also have the capacity to embrace the world with a heart of love and arms of caring action. I am someone who has enough peace, joy, and freedom, and is able to offer fearlessness and joy to living beings around themselves. I see that I am not lonely and cut off. The love and happiness of great beings on this planet help me not to sink into despair. They help me to live my life in a meaningful way, with true peace and happiness. I see them all in me, and I see myself all in them. In gratitude, I touch the earth to let go of my idea that I am this body, that I am this body, and my lifespan is limited. Please touch the earth. I see that this body, made up of the four elements, is not really me, and I am not limited by this body. I am part of a stream of life of spiritual and blood ancestors that for thousands of years have been flowing into the present and flows on for thousands of years into the future. I am one with my ancestors. I am one with all people and all species, whether they are peaceful and fearless or suffering and afraid. At this very moment, I am present everywhere on this planet. I am also present in the past and in the future. The disintegration of this body does not touch me. Just as when the plum blossom falls, it does not mean the end of the plum tree. I see myself as a wave on the surface of the ocean. My nature is the ocean water. I see myself in all the other waves, and I see all the other waves in me. The appearance and disappearance of the form of the wave does not affect the ocean. My Dharma body and spiritual life are not subject to birth and death. I see the presence of myself before my body manifested and after my body has disintegrated. Even in this moment, I see how I exist elsewhere than in this body. 70, 80, 90 years is not my lifespan. My lifespan, like the lifespan of a leaf or of a Buddha, is limitless. I have gone beyond the idea that I am a body that is separated in space and time from all other forms of life. Please make yourself comfortable and we'll face the front.
Dean, can I ask two questions? Who wrote those words that you're reading out?
Thich Nhat Hanh.
Right, okay. And two, what's this thing about the leaf going on forever?
Like everything, it goes on forever, ever. So we had the Buddha.
Yeah.
And we have the leaf, something small and tiny. It was just everything is impermanent, that's all it was. Just breathe for a few moments. Where's your mind now? Where's your mind now? Thank you. So let's follow our breathing, come back to our bodies just for a few moments. So, dear friends, I'd like to offer a few reflections. To complement Kirsten's reflections on the second foundation or establishment of mindfulness from the discourse on the four establishments or foundations of mindfulness. And I might turn to my dear friend, like it's becoming a bit of a habit, because I think it's really helpful. Our Dharma paths have been very similar and in some ways different because of our teachers, but I think it's very useful to have different energies, different language, different use of language to offer something, because what might be helpful for you from me might not be helpful for you from my teachers. And yeah, so having two people is, I think, a really helpful thing to, and good fun. So I'd like to do that for a very short while, and I'm going to add something which again I think might be helpful for the remainder of our time together, which will be the Buddhist teachings on the five remembrances, which again I think will link to where we may walk together and co-create together. So that's what the next few minutes may hold for us. So the second foundation, or the second establishment of mindfulness, contemplation of feelings, not related directly to those emotions. In my tradition, we have our conceptual framework works with 52 emotions. It's more, as Kirsten spoke about, just those being aware. The object of our mindfulness is around pleasant, unpleasant. I'm using the word neutral feelings. Why is this foundation important? Because if we become mindful of these feelings, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, we can begin to realize that pleasant feelings may nourish our greed and attachment. Unpleasant feelings may nourish, offer nutrients to our aversion. No, I don't want this. Getting away from it. And when we have neutral feelings, it may lead to apathy. It may lead to complacency, which, if we're mindful, can be very helpful to us. And as we look deeper over time, the invitation that Kirsten asked us, if we choose to look deeper, then we begin to see the textures and the subtleties of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral within us. And after a while, we begin to see that they're like a river. They are always, always with us. Always with us. We can sit on a riverbank. Imagine you're sitting on, and we can just watch all of the time if we're mindful. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. All of the time. Constant. So that was an invitation I heard this morning. Yeah, was that? An invitation to look. A lifetime's work. Because it is textured, and once you see one texture of how these feelings are working, then we can go deeper. Everywhere, anywhere we are, all of the time, on this river looking. Which can lead us to the insight of impermanence. Which can lead us to the insight of no birth, no death. Within my tradition, when somebody is close to passing from this life, the discourse on the four foundations of mindfulness are read to them. So this discourse is read to people that are close to leaving this life. Why? Why is that so? Because the Buddha has offered as objects for our mindfulness practice the body, the feelings, the mind, the objects of the mind, in order that we can become fearless of no birth, no death, in order that we can become courageous. So what seemed like a simple invitation from Kirsten this morning, if we take up that invitation, can remove fear. Can remove fear. Something that goes side by side with that are the five teachings, the five remembrances. Within, once again, the Plum Village tradition, we are encouraged by our teacher to recite them and look deeply within them every day, as a daily practice. Those five remembrances are: I am of the nature to grow old. There's no escaping growing old. I am of the nature to be sick. There's no escaping being sick. I am of the nature to die. There is no escaping death. All that is dear to me and all that I love is of the nature to change. There's no way of escaping being separated from them. There's no way of escaping being separated from them. This is wording from my own tradition. There are many options for the last remembrance. My actions are my only true belonging and continuation. My actions are my only true belonging and continuation. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. If we look at these remembrances as ominous warnings, then it may cause us a lot more suffering. So our practice, which I wasn't expecting on this retreat, so this is from my teacher, so our practice is to smile, is to smile. I did have a quick look before I came here to checking I wasn't wanting him to say it. He said, smile at these remembrances, like old friends. Smile at them. Have sovereignty with these remembrances. Shine a light of mindfulness, of concentration and of insight into these remembrances in order to nourish, to cultivate fearlessness and courage, which will stand us in very good stead. I'm going to offer a bell. And for the remainder of this practice, if we can sit in a comfortable meditative stance, or sit on a chair if you're feeling a bit uncomfortable, I will ask you to focus on your posture, on your breathing, and I will recite the five remembrances as we sit. And our action is, if it is authentic and if it is true, to gently smile within. Gently smile within. And once again, if it's true, only if it's true, offer a gentle smile, like the Buddha. I am of the nature to grow old. There's no escape of growing old. I am of the nature to grow sick. There is no escaping becoming sick. I am of the nature to die. There is no escaping death. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. My actions are my only true belonging and continuation. To look at these remembrances only as ominous warnings may create more suffering. So my practice is to smile at them. To find joy in the simple things, the eyes of a child walking in nature, being with friends on the path. Nourishing ourselves and others with loving kindness, understanding, compassion. Treating ourselves with self-compassion. Realizing what opens our heart and makes our heart sing. And offering that joy and happiness to others.